Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Amen. We know the Lord will stamp with his own approval and blessing this reading of his own precious and infallible word. My text this evening, I have chosen Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through to 12. It reads as follows, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And I want to attempt to preach tonight on the subject that I've entitled Good News in the Night. I want you to imagine that you're lying in bed and you're asleep. And all of a sudden you're awakened because your phone is ringing. It's the middle of the night. And of course, when the phone rings in the middle of the night, you don't expect good news, do you? With a dull sense, with some foreboding, you lift the phone. You're expecting the worst. And you're saying hello, probably in a dry mouth voice. Now, occasionally, you do receive some good in the news in the night. But that's occasionally. Generally, you don't expect good news in the night. But the best good news that ever came to this world came at night. You see, the message that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago came in the night. Hundreds of years before that night, the prophet Isaiah, under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, wrote about the birth of Christ. And this is what he said, Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Earlier he had said to King Ahaz, Jotham's son, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. See, unto us a child is born. That's a reference to the true humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a real man of flesh and blood. Unto us a son is given. See, that's a reference to his true deity. Everything connected to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed wonderful and unique. You see, remember, the birth of Christ was a one-off unique event. And the reason for that uniqueness was that the babe in Bethlehem's manger was none other than God incarnate. His name shall be called Emmanuel, What does Emmanuel mean? Well, anything that ends in E-L has to do with God. And of course, Emmanuel means God with us. God dwelling with us. You think of his name, Lord. It's a reference to his deity. You think of the name Jesus, it's a reference to his humanity. You think of the name Christ, it's a reference to the work that God the Father given him to do as the anointed prophet, priest, and king. And when we think about his birth was supernatural. He was born of woman only. Remember what the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. His birth was not only supernatural, but his birth was sensational. And yet amazingly, as far as the vast population of the known world was concerned, it passed off without notice. It went unheeded. Nobody batted an eyelid. Nobody bothered. However, God in his infinite wisdom allowed and permitted a select few to be involved in this supernatural, sensational, spectacular event. Wise men thousands of miles away saw a bright star in the heavens. They followed it until it led them to where the child was. Also a few shepherds looking after their sheep on the Judean hillside. Sheep that would eventually be offered as sacrifices in the temple, awaiting the great fulfillment of all the animal sacrifices, the Lamb of God himself who was to come. Now let's get the picture. It's night time. It's not a good time for shepherds out in the field, yet they're there by way of duty. They're abiding in the field by night. That's important. Oh, I would love to develop that and open it up. And counsel you as a Christian to abide in Christ. They were watching the flock. That's why they were there. Not only abiding in the field, they were watching the flock. Why? Because sheep rustlers operated at night. Wild animals such as lions and bears come out at night. The wolves attacked the little lambs at night. They prowled the countryside at night looking for the prey. So while others slept, the shepherds were abiding in the field. The shepherds were watching the flock. They were alert to the dangers of the night. And we as ministers and elders need to be watchful for the flock and alert to the dangers of the darkness of the night. And as they did so, a tremendous thing happened. The whole hillside lit up. The darkness suddenly was dispelled. And then a voice spoke to them. So much so that the shepherds were sore afraid, the Bible tells us. Do you know what sore afraid means? It means they were petrified. They were shaking in their shoes. This was a very traumatic experience. And when did it take place? Young people, it took place at night. Can you picture the shepherds couching in terror, surrounded with a bright light, a strange, unearthly light? And a voice speaks out from the midst of that light. And this voice that spoke, I believe, was a gentle voice. It was not a voice to stimulate fear and terror, but in actual fact, the very opposite. It was to bring peace and joy to their troubled hearts. The angel that was sent by God appeared in the night to the shepherds on the hillside of Bethlehem. That's what Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 12 is teaching us. And the angel said unto them. Now, let's think of a few things about good news in the night. Think of the darkness of the night. Have you ever wondered to yourself why the good tidings from heaven, this good news about the birth of Christ, this special, supernatural, sensational, spectacular event, the birth of Christ, came at night? If we were to ask the teacher, will not embarrass any teachers here, why was the Lord Jesus born at Bethlehem? Well, here's one of the answers. Because his mother was there. I suppose that's a good answer, isn't it? But think of this. Does it have any significance that the good tidings from heaven came at night? See, I believe the answer is yes. Jesus Christ was born in the night. So the message had to come at night. And that is true. But I believe there is more to it than that. You see, was the time of his birth a chance happening? Was it a mere coincidence? Did it just happen because it happened? No. There was nothing fortuitous about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that was happening under the sovereign purposes of Almighty God. He was superintending it all, the exact place, all the details, the number of people involved, the special time. It all was meticulously planned. It was all meticulously prophesied beforehand. You see, I've read from Galatians 4 and 4. Listen again to what the Bible says. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law. The fullness of time. That means when the time was just right. When the right opportunity with respect to the implementation of God's great sovereign purposes. When the time was ripe for God to intervene in human history and usher in the great gospel era, God sent forth his son. Notice the word sent. You see, it speaks of Christ's personal deity. See, the Lord Jesus Christ never became the Son of God as a result of his entrance into this world via the virgin birth. He eternally and always is the Son of God. I believe in the eternality of Christ. And I believe that the incarnation and virgin birth was the greatest intervention by God in human history. And here's the language of the Bible. God sent forth his Son. We could think about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3 and 16. The word sent, the word gave, brings to us the thought that it's preserving the Christ's personal and essential deity and eternal sonship. Remember, the humanity of Christ came into existence out of the substance of the woman. God the Father commissioned his Son to go out from him. Somehow in the mystery of the incarnation to disentangle himself from his bosom and be incarnated in the bosom of one that we call the Virgin Mary, all to redeem his people. Listen again to the text. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. For what purpose? To redeem them. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth the Son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And if you think of this, 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire ruled the world. It brought political stability into the world. Roman roads were built for ease of travel. The Greek language made it very easy to communicate. There was the dispersal of the Jews, remember? It provided a seedbed for the gospel, for the gospel went to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So I put it to you tonight that the Lord Jesus was born at the appropriate time in the world's history. See, God is the God of the big timepieces. God is the God of the small timepieces. And Jesus Christ was born at night. The good news came at night through the purpose and timing of God. You see, there was no more fitting time for him to come. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to what? To give light to those who sit in darkness. To those who are under the shadow of death. And it's interesting that day and night is used in the Bible not only to highlight time, but also to highlight and describe people's spiritual state. For example, listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So you've got the children of light, and you've got the children of the darkness. You've got children of the night, and you've got children of the day. And you're either of the day, or you're either of the night. And if you're of the day, and a child of the light, and a child of the day, you have a true knowledge of the living God. You have a personal testimony and relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you're of the night, if you're of the darkness, then you're ignorant of the true and living God. You have no knowledge of Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you're here tonight without Christ, you're in the darkness. You're of the night. And here's a description of men and women in their natural state before God. And how many in Ulster tonight are blind to God. And they have no hope. And they're without God in this world. And they have no fear or thought or regard of God or the things of God. And I'm describing many that lives in the heartland of Protestant Ulster. And I can only pray. And I want you to pray for our land and its people. Lord, have mercy upon us. I don't really think tonight we ponder how spiritually dark and difficult things are for those without Christ, who are blind, who are dead, who have no fear, thought, or regard of God. Not only do I want you to think of the darkness of the night, but I want you to think of the dread of the night. Notice the reaction of the shepherds. What does it say? It says there, verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about, and they were sore afraid. There's the dread of the night. They were sore afraid. I've already told you it means they were paralyzed with fear. Why? There's only one answer. They were being ushered into the very presence of God. And ushered into the very presence of God, they were overcome with fear. Become conscious of sin. The wrath of God, hell would be a reality. You know, the Bible tells us a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13 tells us, if we think of the words in Isaiah 8 and 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. And it's not part of Ulster's problem. There's no fear of God. And oh, that Ulster people, Protestant and Roman Catholic alike, could be ushered into the very presence of God and tremble before him. Natural man fears many things. Maybe you fear certain things at this time of the year. Maybe you fear for your children's safety. Bad roads, frosty morning, frosty night. Maybe you fear of being alone. Maybe your partner, your loved one has been taken from you and you're on your own. You're a widow now or a widower. Maybe you're even homeless, and there are homeless people living in Northern Ireland. Do you know, when I was out in New York at one time visiting my daughter a number of years ago, there was 50,000 homeless people in any one given night sleeping rough in the streets of New York. Maybe you're worried about money to pay the bills. Maybe you're worried about the price of groceries and the price of oil. See, natural man fears many things. But I want to tell you, natural man has no fear of God. They have no real thought regarding God or the things of God. They have no regard or fear for Jesus Christ. When they see him and hear about him, they do so in their health and strength. And they have no care for anything that's spiritual. And then all of a sudden, God draws near. And once they're in his presence, man becomes sore afraid. Here was the dread of the night. Isn't that what happened to Belshazzar? Remember Belshazzar's party in Daniel 5? He made a party for 1,000 of his lords, the noble of the day, the cream of society, the rich, the famous, all the powerful ones sitting around the table. Can you see them drinking their booze, the devil's buttermilk? Can you hear them cursing? They're cursing our God. They're mocking, they're laughing, they're toasting with the goblets from the temple. They're brave men, they're brazen men, aren't they? Oh, we wouldn't want to be sitting at that table. They have such a contempt for God. They're mocking the Lord, they're laughing at him. The king's leading it, King Belshazzar. And then suddenly, an armless hand appears, writes a message on the plaster of the wall. And old Belshazzar goes as white as a sheet. His knees smote together. He's not mocking now. He's not blaspheming now. He's not brazing now. He's terrified. Why is he terrified? He's terrified because he's ushered into the presence of God. He's become aware of his sin. He's become aware of his ungodly lifestyle. The man is learning he's a sinner by nature and practice, that he's morally and spiritually bankrupt. See, sin brings torment. Sin brings the fear of meeting God in the day of judgment. Sinners in their natural state will be overcome with fear once they're in his presence in the day of judgment. Oh, I hear a lot of foolish talk about, I'll say this to God when I meet him. I'll boast about this. There'll be silence. There'll be nothing to say. The only words it will be, depart from me, ye cursed, ye worker of iniquity, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to tell you tonight, you cannot meet God in the judgment without Jesus Christ. You cannot meet God without being in union with Christ. Because if you do, you'll be cast out. You'll experience what I'm talking about, the dread of the night. It'll be worse. I want you to think of something else very quickly. The discovery of the night. You see, there was a purposeful message here. The message of God came by night. God took the initiative. He revealed it to them. They never discovered this by themselves. Notice it was a personal message. Fear not. Notice it was told them, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the wonderful thing is this, in this symbolic sense, the good news from heaven always comes to a people in the night. Humanly speaking, we are at our lowest in the night. Our fears arise. They trouble us. Humanly speaking, we're troubled by thoughts. We're troubled by feelings of inadequacy and insecurity. Oftentimes, we have a sense of our sins, a sense of our weakness, a sense of spiritual darkness, a sense of our ignorance, really, of the things of God. How much do we know? We know so little. And it always seems to surface at night. It always seems to trouble us when we go to bed. So here's a message for everyone. Note the words, for all people. Good tidings to all people, people of every tribe and tongue and nation, irrespective of color, irrespective of class. I believe tonight in the worldwide presentation of the gospel. And it's wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we should pray that the Lord would raise up laborers to go in, not only to Northern Ireland, to England, Scotland, and Wales that are much darker than ourselves, and further afield, spread the light. Lord, send the light, send the truth. This is a purposeful, personal message. Notice it's a precise message. Fear thou not. See, God took the initiative. God revealed this. Their souls are steeped in fear and dread of God. And what does the Lord say? Well, he deals with that. He says, let go of your fear. Is that not a word of comfort? Is that not a word of consolation? Is that not a message from a holy, graceful, loving God? What do you fear tonight? Are you struggling as a Christian? Are you down in the dumps? Are you depressed? Life circumstances and problems? Let go of your fears. That's what the Lord would say to you tonight. Remember, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even you've come to the end, and you face foreboding and fear. You let go of your fears, because the Lord is with you. As he's not said, fear not, for I am with you. Is that not one of his promises? Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do you know there's 365 fear nots in the Bible? That's one for each day of the year. What a precise message. Not only was it purposeful and personal, but it's precise to their need. It's tailor-made. It's a prophetic message. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know the word wrapped is used 14 times in the Bible. What were they? Swaddling clothes? There were strips of cloth to embalm the dead. When this child was born, one of the first cloths that touched his human flesh was the cloth of death. The cloth that they would have used to wrap a dead body in. That is very important. And one of the gifts that the wise men presented was the gift of myrrh. That was a spice that was used to embalm the dead. You think of this fact. The moment the child is born of the Virgin Mary, the first cloth to touch him was the cloth associated with death and burial. One of his gifts associated with death and the tomb. And the most important thing I believe about Christmas is this. That the Lord Jesus was born to die. He wasn't born to live forever. He was born in poverty to die for us, poor sinners. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's the prophecy of this message. And it was that message that came to Jotham's son, Ahaz, and he rejected it. You read it there in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 14. But also, this is a powerful message. Look at the words. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How is the Lord Jesus going to be a Savior? By dying for his people. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Saving a people who could not save themselves. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. See, the Lord Jesus on the cross was a sin bearer. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him is no sin. We're told he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The Bible tells us there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17, that this marvelous statement, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was the surety. He was paying the debt that our sin owed to the broken law. He was our substitute. He took our place. He died in your guilty room instead. All to be the Savior. Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's this purposeful, personal, precise, prophetic, powerful message that came to these shepherds in the night. And here they are, sore afraid in the presence of God. Maybe guilt-ridden, despairing, felt that there's no hope. They received this message. And at the tail end of this message, it was a pleasant message. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It produced praise. Isn't that wonderful? I was saying at a wee First Friday Fellowship Club there on Friday past, the hymn Silent Night was sang at that First Friday Fellowship Club. It was produced by a man called Joseph Moore in 1818. He was the curate of Ossendorf in Austria. He was going to his friend Francis Gruber's house, having wrote those words and asking for a hymn tune. And that was on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day in that little village in Austria. The two men who became close friends, a teacher and a curate, they sang it together in that very Christmas Day service in 1818. In 1918, the soldiers that were in the trenches on Christmas Eve on the British side, they sang that hymn. And of course, one man started who had the gift of singing, and then it went right down the line, and they all began to join in. And over No Man's Land, they could hear the Germans singing, and they were singing this, O little town of Bethlehem. See, that very night, there was no fighting. The foe became friends through the offering of praise, and the praise centered. It has to center on the person and work of Christ, on the glories of him who was born of the Virgin Mary. That's the discovery of the night. Think of the delight of the night. It says, and I'll have to be quick, it says in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. See, whenever they heard the message, they went and checked it out for themselves. They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord, you get that, hath made known unto us. You see, the story of the birth of the Christ child is based in facts, young people. It's most relevant. Historical facts, literal facts, personal facts, observational facts. And it's hugely significant. It did happen. It has tremendous relevance. We can know what God is like. We can know what God thinks of us. We can know God in our lives. All through this babe that was born in the manger. There's the delight in the night. It says they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, exactly as it was told that they would find. Think of this finally. Think of the decision of the night. They learned that Jesus Christ was offered as a gift to be received personally. They were to receive Jesus Christ by faith as Lord and Savior. And I want to say tonight in closing, if you have, all is well with your soul. You have nothing to fear in the meeting with God. Remember what John says in John chapter 1, and it says there in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, Christmas time's coming. It's here. We're in the month of December. We're thinking about Advent. You're maybe thinking of a gift for friends and loved ones. And one of the vital things about gifts is this, that the gift is to be offered. And the gift has to be received as well as purchased. Now you think of this in closing. A little boy by the name of Timothy, an old farmer, he married late, he had no children. He adopted a wee girl and they called her Amy and they loved her. And she was the delight of their adopted mother and father. And to their surprise, a year later, the wife was expecting a baby. And the wee boy was born, they called him Timothy. And growing up, Timothy tried hard to please Amy. And one Christmas, he decided that he would buy her a doll. And he got his piggy bank out and he counted his money. He did wee odd jobs for mummy and daddy. He did odd jobs for other family members. And he saved up enough money to buy a beautiful doll. And on Christmas Day, he came and he presented the doll to Amy. It was all lovely wrapped up with nice bows and wrapping paper. And Amy looked at the doll and looked at wee Timothy, who was beaming, and she took the doll from him, and she threw it down on the floor, and she stood all over the doll, and she shouted at him, "That's what I think of your doll." Of course, she was a spoiled little girl. But that's what many are doing with the greatest gift of all. The best news has come in the night. Jesus Christ is born of Mary. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, and he's Christ the Lord. And you've got to take into your mind the wonder of the incarnation and the wonder of his virgin birth. And here's God's unspeakable gift. And it's been provided. And it must be received. And if you don't receive that gift, then you're doing that little Amy did to Timothy's doll. And if you do that, refuse the gift of love and faith and grace, then you miss the entire message. The Bible tells us about the shepherds. And when they had seen it, that's the babe lying in a manger, swaddling clothes, The manger was a sign. What do we read? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The Savior is born, he's Christ the Lord. Receive him, and you have the gift of eternal life. That's the decision of the night. That was their decision. Let me ask you, will that be your decision tonight? Good news in the night. Think of the darkness of the night. Think of the dread of the night. Think of the discovery, this message. Think of the delight. They found it to be true. And if you do an honest search, you'll find it to be true. And you'll make this greatest decision. The decision to receive Christ as Lord and Redeemer. The Lord bless you tonight. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. We're going to close in a moment. Could I just take the opportunity to wish you a very Merry Christmas? I pray you'll have a blessed and happy New Year. And I trust you'll know the help of God going forward at this time.